to sighing when hope within me dies. I draw me closer to Jesus.
Wonderful message, beautifully done. Thank you, Miriam, for that. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. As we look this morning, the passage we read, the golden rule of judging. Most of you have heard of the golden rule. There we read it in verse 12, at least Matthew's version of it, a little bit different in other places. And we started out with verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Probably this verse, verse 1, I don't know of too many verses that are quoted more than this one. It probably even is more well known than John 3:16. I don't think the verses around it and the context are known quite as much as verse 1 itself. But the question comes, is it ever right to pass judgment on the actions of others? Well, if you just look at that one verse, judge not that you be not judged, you would come to the conclusion, no, it's never right to pass judgment. But that's not what this passage is teaching, as we will see as we look through it. So how do you determine, we read in our passage earlier about dogs and swine in verse 6, a reference to people. How do you determine who are the dogs and who are the swine? If you don't make a judgment on that. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit as well. But we're going to look at three things this morning. Guidelines for judging and generous giving as it has to do with judging. And the golden rule as it relates to judging. Because verse 12 is not disconnected at all from verse 1 there. And so we'll look at these three things this morning. And first we'll look at some guidelines for judging. And we're going to spend most of our time on number 1. So it'll take me a while to get through that, but the next two won't be nearly as long. So before we look at guidelines for judging, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, that you would help us, as the Scripture says, to rightly divide the word of truth, and that we would examine our own hearts and lives today as well, especially in light of the Lord's table that will be coming at the end of the message. Lord, that you help us to examine our hearts, and Lord, see if there's anything that we need to confess. And we have already sung a testimony of your cleansing power to forgive and cleanse whenever we confess our sins, and we thank you for that. And so we pray that through our time in your word today, we might be drawn closer to you. If there's any here who have never trusted Christ as Savior, that today they would come to know you as personal Lord and Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, as he gives us these guidelines for judging, the first thing he does is give us a caution here. And as we do our judging, and you'll find out very quickly into the message that we are to judge, we're not to do so with a bitter and hostile attitude, or certainly not an unkind spirit as well. Those who delight in finding faults with others. Now, there are some people that they just love to do it. They just love to be fault finders. The Pharisees were that way, weren't they? Now, they weren't believers, but Jesus is not condemning judging. He's condemning judging certain ways. And the first way we see is unlawfully. That is, we know in our land we have a court system where we have a judge and or jury, and they'll go through and they have the attorneys that are there, and there's a lawful judgment. But we can be guilty of judging unlawfully if we assume an authority over another person that God hasn't given us. Now, God has placed positions of authority over us. In churches, we talk about church discipline because God has placed a board of elders and deacons and pastor in positions of authority. And so if there's a believer within the church, needs to have church discipline exercised, there are authorities to do that. But brothers and sisters on the same level who don't have authority over another person, we have to be careful that we don't assume that we have that authority over another one. Another caution that he gives us not only is don't judge unlawfully, but don't judge presumptuously as well. That is accepting rumors that you hear. Or I have a suspicion, that so-and-so is guilty of this. Those are not factual, are they? And so we have to be careful. In my study, I came across a poem, I guess it is. I have it up here for you. Maybe you've seen it. I'd never seen this before. It says, there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. And so we all have faults. And so he is commanding us to judge. And if we're waiting until we don't have any sin at all to judge, we're never going to judge. And so we know that Christ is the only one who was sinless. And so whenever we're making the judging that we do, we don't want to do it unlawfully. We don't want to do it presumptuously. We want to make sure we have the facts there. But also we don't want to do it, and this is what Jesus is talking here. He's talking about judging hypocritically. He talks about, seeing a mote in someone's eye and a beam in your own eye there, and condemning someone else while you're doing the same thing. That's hypocritical. It's not hypocritical just to judge someone for doing wrong, but it's hypocritical if you're doing the same thing and then you condemn them for their sin, and you're doing the same thing. Look at Romans here. It kind of helps us with this. Romans 2:1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. But I didn't put the whole verse up. And sometimes people will look at just one verse, like verse 1, and don't look at the rest of the context, or they will look at just part of a verse where Romans says, you're inexcusable. There's no excuse if you judge. But then the rest of the verse goes on to say, for, or because, here's the reason. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest, you're doing the same thing. And so Jesus is not telling us not to judge. He's telling us that if we're going to judge, and when we judge, because we are commanded to, we'll see that a little bit later, we are to do it not unlawfully, not presumptuously, not hypocritically and doing the same thing and judging someone else for doing the same thing. If I'm a thief and I'm judging someone for breaking into my house and stealing something, if I'm doing the same thing he's doing, that's hypocritical there. But also, he tells us that we should not be judging hastily as well. Don't be quick to judge. I don't know if anybody else has ever used this term or not, but a term I think of is the law of first hearing. Whatever we hear first, sometimes we think that's the truth. If we hear something else and, no, that's not right because I heard this. Well, you may have heard the wrong thing first, you know, and so we have to be careful not to be quick in our judging. Here's a verse that will help us with that. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to him." Read a story about a man who was an owner of a factory. He walks into the factory and he sees all of his employees there, and he notices someone leaning over against one of the crates doing nothing. So he walks over to the man and he says, "How much do you earn in a week?" The man says, $300. And the owner reaches in his pocket and he pulls out three $100 bills. He says, "Here, take this. Don't come back anymore." You know, he didn't like the fact that he was just leaning on a crate not doing some work. He walks over to someone there and he says, "How long has this guy been working for us?" He says, "Well, he doesn't. He was just delivering a package, you know." Well, the supervisor kind of made a fool and ashamed of himself because he assumed something. He was quick to judge, and he didn't have the facts, and it cost him. You know, whenever we make a judgment and we don't have the facts, it can cost us. It can make us look foolish or shameful as well. There's another way that people judge that we should not judge, and that is unfairly. We don't want to be unfair in our judgment. It's sometimes we have our minds made up about a decision or a judgment, and then somebody comes in with some other facts, not just hearsay, and we kind of want to ignore those because they don't fit the predetermined conclusion that I want to have, and that doesn't support my case, so I'm going to ignore that. We can't do that. That is unfair judgment. And aren't you glad God is fair? God has all the facts. God doesn't use hearsay. He knows everything, and all of His judgment is according to His knowledge there. But also, whenever we make judgments, I'm glad that when the Lord judges us, He's not unmerciful. I am so thankful for the mercies of the Lord. Now, we might have justice on our side. We might have the truth on our side, and we might be right in our judgment that somebody is wrong and they have sinned. Doesn't mean that we have to blow them away, you know. God shows mercy to us. And so He tells us here that we ought to show mercy as well. And so as we are giving out judgment, we need to, you've probably seen this acronym before, we need to think before we pass judgment. We need to ask, is this true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? You know, before we pass judgment, we need to remember, God, we want You to show mercy to us when we are wrong, and so then we need to show mercy to others whenever they are wrong as well. So there's the caution He gives us about judging. But then we come to the next thing. He also gives us a challenge about judging. Look at verse 5. He says, "Thou hypocrite," not a hypocrite because He was judging, hypocrite because He was guilty. He had the beam in His own eye, and He was trying to get the little piece of dust out of someone else's eye when He had a log in His own eye there. He said, "You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So He's telling us to do it, but make sure that there's not a log in our own eye before we do it. So the challenge that we have here, we look at several verses that I want to share with you about judging. This word judge in 1 Corinthians 10:15, where Paul is saying to the Corinthians, "I speak as unto wise men, judge what I say. Listen to my words and make a judgment based on what I say. And that's what judgment is. It's discernment there. And Paul is telling the Corinthians to judge what he's saying. And I tell you the same thing. You judge what I'm saying. You compare Scripture with Scripture, and you make sure that what's coming from this pulpit, whether it's an evangelist or a missionary or me or whoever, that it meets the Scripture. And so that's what Paul is saying. He also uses the word judge in 1 Corinthians 11. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray to God uncovered, talking about whether she should have a hat on when she prays or her hair is her covering? We'll not get into that now. We're studying 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, and so you come on Wednesday nights and we'll deal with that when we get to chapters 10 and 11, okay? John 7:24. Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, and here's the command, judge, righteous judgment. So not judging unlawfully, not judging hastily or hypocritically, you know, but judging righteous judgment is how we are to judge. Another verse in 1 Corinthians, we're in just chapter 2 in our Wednesday night study, so in a little bit we'll be getting to chapter 5. Paul says, put away that wicked person. And this chapter is talking about a person who was guilty of incest there. And he says, put away that wicked person. Now, how do you know that person is wicked? You make a judgment based on what they're doing, you know? And so here, again, when he says, judge not, he's not telling us not to judge, but he's telling us to do it scripturally. And one more verse in Romans chapter 16. Mark them that cause divisions and teach things contrary to the things you've learned and avoid them. Now, how are you going to know who they are? You have to make a judgment based on what they're teaching and how they're living to be able to avoid them there. And so those are the things that we do. We have to make sure that the log is the, you see these big old logs on a truck as you're going down the highway carrying them, and you don't like to follow those, do you? I know they're tied down, but you get behind those as quickly as you can. And he's talking about one of those logs being in your own eye, and here you are trying to get a little speck of dust out of someone else's eye here. Like the story I read about a woman who was going on a trip and she was taking a flight, and so she had to wait a bit. So she goes in and she buys a book and a package of cookies. And she goes and she sits down and she's reading her book while she's waiting for her flight to be called. And she looks one chair over from her, and there's this man who reaches over into the bag of cookies, and he picks out a cookie and he starts to eat it. And she looked at it and she wondered, what in the world is he doing? And so she didn't say anything. She reaches in and she eats one, and eventually the bag's just about gone. There's one cookie left, and the man reaches in it and he breaks it in half and gives her half of it. And then her blood is just boiling, you know. And then they finally call the flight, and she goes, she sits down, she reaches in to her purse, and there's her bag of cookies. You know, she was judging someone for doing what she was doing, and she wasn't even aware of that. And that is what Jesus is condemning us for doing, judging someone else when we're guilty. He's not telling us not to judge at all. And so whenever we are going to see an eye doctor, you know, do you want an eye doctor treating your eyes if that eye doctor is blind? You know, the eyes are so delicate. We don't. And we might change the EYE eye doctor to eye doctor, the letter I. Eye doctor. I need to check my own eye before I start going and removing something from someone else's eye. So we need to judge, but we need to make sure we do it scripturally there. And there is the caution and also the challenge. And then thirdly, we also have not just the caution and the challenge, but we have the counsel. Notice how he counsels us in verse 6. Give not that which is holy to dogs. Now, you know, in the Bible, Gentiles were referred to as dogs and swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn again and rend you here. And notice in verse 5, it talks about casting the mote out of your brother's eye. And now he's talking about unsaved people. So there are some times where we go to brothers who might be in a sin, and we're going to help them cast the mote out of their eye, making sure we don't have a beam in our own. And then sometimes we have to go to unsaved people. So there are two groups that he's talking about here. But first of all, we want to make sure that our own lives are right before the Lord. One verse here, and then we'll move on. About self-inspection, getting the beam of self-righteousness out of our hearts before we start judging others. Let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians 11 is the passage that has to do with the Lord's table. And just a little bit, as the piano plays, we'll be distributing the elements and then we'll partake together. And what we do during that time of quiet while the piano's playing, we will be examining ourselves. And while we're in our pews, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. In just a second, we pray and God cleanses us there. And so we need to judge ourselves first and examine our own hearts there. Now we'll go into generous giving. Notice the verse 7. It talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. You probably noticed before that if you take each one of those as an acrostic, it spells ask. Ask, seek, knock there. Jesus says you don't have because you don't ask. And so he goes on to give some illustrations here about a father or a parent. His son comes and asks for bread. He says, will you give him a stone? You know, that's not going to be very helpful to take care of the hunger that he has here. If he comes and asks you for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent, something that is poisonous and harmful? No, you're not going to do that. Is this teaching us that God is going to give us everything we ask for? Do we as a parent give our children everything we ask for? We're sitting at the table and they like the rolls there, with the butter and the honey butter and all that good stuff on them, and they ask for bread and you give them one and they want more bread and they want more bread and they don't want to eat anything else. They just want bread. Are you going to give them nothing but bread? No, you're not going to give them everything they ask for. And so here it's not telling us that we as parents should give our children everything they ask for, because God doesn't give us everything that we ask for, because sometimes we ask amiss. We ask for things that it's not good for us. And God has more knowledge than we do. And he says, no, that's not good for you. You might think it is, but it's not. Because it tells us here that won't God give to us good things? That's in verse 11. He says, if you are evil people, and we are, we're sinful people, if we know how to give our children the right amount of bread and not just nothing but bread, if we know how to do those things, isn't God, who is omniscient, isn't he able to decide what's good for us? And he gives us good things as well. So we ask, and then after we ask, we go around seeking. And we start looking for the answers because we've asked God, and we know he's going to provide. He's going to do it in his way and in his timing, and not always the way that we think. And then sometimes we go to knocking, you know, and it becomes intensified there. We're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking, and God knows how to give good things to those who are his. And so the principle here is not that God will give us everything that we want, but the principle is here, God will not, he will never, ever give us anything that harms us. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God. And we, as evil, know how to do good things for our children, then God certainly knows how to do that as well. The last thing we see is the golden rule. And it doesn't mean, as you've heard, you know, he that has the gold rules, you know, or do to him first before he does it to you. There, when we look at this, verse 12, therefore, and I've said it before, when you read in your Bible and you see the word therefore, you ask yourself the question, what is it there for? because it's tying some things together. And verse 1 that says, judge not that you be not judged, he is summarizing all of this with the golden rule. So when we look at this, we see a pattern for judging there. How do you want other people to judge you? Do you want it to be unlawfully? Do you want it to be hypocritically? Do you want it to be unfairly? Do you want it to be all those other things I said a moment ago that are just leaving my mind now? And how do you want people to judge you? Well, then that's the way we ought to judge as well, especially with some mercy mixed in. And so there's a pattern for judging. But also in this golden rule, we have what I call a preference for judging. He says, whatever you would, whatever you want, the way you want, what is your preference in the way of being judged? How do you like to be treated? None of us like to be treated cruelly, do we? None of us like to have people talking about us behind our backs or stabbing us in the back or gossiping about us, saying things without having all the facts. They haven't walked in my shoes. They don't have all the information I have. Then that's how we should do to others as well. Whatever preference we have for ourselves is what we should do to others. The third rule in the golden rule as it relates to judging is the principle for action. Do ye so to them first. It's not wait until you see if they are abiding by this and then you do it as well. But he's saying set the example. Lead the way. Be the first to practice this kind of judgment. And then we come to the last thing at the end of verse 12. For this is the law and the prophets. And here as we talk about judging, he has given us a precept for living. The law and the prophets is a reference to all of the Old Testament. And the summary of the Old Testament is love. We see God's love for His people in the Old Testament, as certainly in the New Testament as well. And so we'll close by looking at one verse from the Law and the Prophets that summarizes all of this for us. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And when we think of the golden rule and we think of this verse and we think of verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Well, we are to judge, but whenever we judge, we're to judge justly. Whenever we judge, we are to judge mercifully. And whenever we judge, we are to judge humbly. Because we realize that every one of us has the capability of committing any sin that we judge others about. If we ever get to the point where we think that I would never commit that sin, we're on dangerous ground, aren't we? Because pride has crept in there. On Sunday evenings, we're going through the book of Psalms. And tonight, we're on Psalm 106. And whenever we get there tonight, you're going to see at the very beginning of the psalm, they are praising and worshiping God. And at the end of the psalm, they are sacrificing their children to idols on the altar of sacrifice. How do they go from praising God to sacrificing their own children to idols? If we ever get to the point of saying, I would never do that, we're on dangerous ground.